The reading today is from the Old Testament. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel, who was 12, you know, was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord said, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, lie down again." And so he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, my son. Go lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. He got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went down and lay in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do a new thing in Israel, and I will make both the ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from the beginning to the end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blasphemizing God, and because he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli, to the iniquity or the sin of Eli's house shall not be expected by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay down there until the morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell his vision to Eli. But Eli said to him, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What did he tell you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me that God told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. He let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was trustworthy, a prophet of the Lord. The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. A pastor tells a story about this scripture. In her church, there was a group that met every week, and they studied what was going to be preached about the next week. It's kind of like our group that meets on Wednesday mornings at about 10 or 10:30. They were studying this passage from Samuel, and they were reading about how that voice came down from heaven and spoke to a 12-year-old, and how it transforms him into a prophet of the Lord. And they were struck by the beauty and the mystery of this passage, and there was just silence in the room as they let the story sink in. And out of the silence, one woman began to tell the story that she had been waking up in the middle of the night too, at 4 o'clock in the morning. And she would wake up, and what little worries that seemed trivial during the day would seem enormous at night. And she did not know what was wrong, and it terrified her. And many in the group, as she told the story, nodded their heads and smiled and just looked at her and said, "It's your age." You're getting older. That is all it is. And most of the people told that at 3 or 4, at 6, they woke up with those anxieties every once in a while, too. Well, to tell you the truth, I could have been in the middle of that story. I would have said, well, my time is 4 a.m. And when I wake up, little things that I may have thought about during the day get just crazy. Like, I may worry about, what did I forget to do? Or what did I say to someone? Do I need to apologize? Or what are my cats doing right now? And did I forget to pay a bill? And if that is enough, then I start worrying about the whole city and the world. I wonder about the budget. Will it ever get better in the state, in the country, in our church? What's going to happen in San Francisco when funds get caught? I think about a homeless person I met on the street who's really vulnerable and it's raining. What are they going to do? What in the day was nothing gets enormous, and it's like this low-grade anxiety takes me over. And I try to calm myself down. I count back from 200, or I retell a story that I've been reading, or maybe go over a movie plot to hope that I can quiet and silence that anxiety. I just want some quiet. I wonder what would happen if I got that quiet, and in the midst of that quiet, I hear God's voice, or that kind of mumbling of God. Would I long for the anxiety again? Or would I have the courage to listen? I wonder what it was like for Samuel. I mean, there he is sleeping on the cold, dark floor of the temple or of the shrine. He didn't have his own bedroom with a nice little bed. It was like he was sleeping right over here on the cold floor, half awake, because he knew he was going to have to hear Eli in case he called in the middle of the night. And you remember Samuel's story, don't you? His mother was Hannah. She was unable to have children, and even though her husband loved her with a deep passion, she felt incomplete. So she went to the temple in Shiloh, and she pleaded that God help her conceive a child. She said, I'll do anything if you give me a child. I'll even give my child away back to you. Well, Eli hears her prayer and blesses her, and Hannah, she conceives, and she gives birth, and she raises that child, and yet when he is done being breastfed, when he can get real food and feed himself, she gives him back to the temple. I find that stunning. You know, we make those, oh God, if you only do these promises, but rarely do we follow through, but Hannah did. And Samuel was raised as a ward of the temple, and he was treated pretty well. But the truth was, he was kind of like the busboy of the temple. All the hard jobs, he did. Anyone that needed something done, you asked Samuel to do it. I suspect he did the jobs that Eli's two sons were supposed to do. I mean, one of his jobs was to take care of Eli when his sight was failing. Scholars figure he probably had cataracts and needed someone to help him. And that became Samuel's job. I think whenever Samuel got to lay down, even on cold floor, he probably went right to sleep. I don't think he had those anxieties bothering him like we do, because he was so exhausted. And it's in one of those nights when he's actually laying down, when he hears a voice call him, Samuel, Samuel. And so he shakes himself up and he yells, says, here I am. So Eli knows he's coming, and he comes to him and says, here I am. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. And this happens a number of times. He hears the voice, he goes, and Eli says, no. And then Eli kind of wakes out of his own slumber, and he realizes that something else is going on. He says to him, okay, if you hear this voice, Samuel, I want you to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And he goes back to his bed, and when he hears that voice again call his name, he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And he hears words that will change his whole life. In those words, he no longer is the busboy of the temple, but he will grow and be the prophet. And Eli will have to follow him. But before that happens, he gets up the next morning. And if you heard that vision, he's talking about the demise of Eli's family. And he's a little reluctant to tell him that, as you can imagine. And Eli says, "No, you have to tell me the truth." And when Eli hears about his family's disaster, he says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." I'm kind of surprised by that. But I think, or I suspect, that Eli knew something was wrong. He knew that his sons were living in the wrong way, that he had not taught them up, that they were not, and he was no longer following God. And so he said, "Let the Lord do what the Lord will." I find myself thinking of my own night terrors, of worries about work and economy and cats and words. And I think, what would it be in the midst of all that busyness, and instead of counting backwards or, you know, reciting a movie plot, if I just said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And see, in the midst of those anxieties, if there might be something I need to listen to, or may there be nothing. But maybe if I made some room, God would speak. And would I long for the silence, or would I have the courage to follow and to listen? On my best days, and occasionally, I have had the courage to follow. And I think the truth is we all kind of long for some direction, even though it's frightening. I mean, these were not the words Samuel really wanted to hear. Many times where God kind of speaks, it's into something unsure, something we can't control, something we did not plan ourselves. And yet we long for something more. The second hymn we're singing today is "Here I Am, Lord." You know, we love this hymn, and it's only about 30 years old, which to Presbyterians is new. We are drawn to this hymn. If we have a hymn sing, I know it's going to be suggested, no question. If it's deacons or elders or ministers are being ordained, it happens. If you've got a youth event, it's going to be one of the songs that is sung. I think it moves us, one, because the melody is quite beautiful, but there's something in it that says, "Here I am, use me." It has this sense of hope. It has a sense that we can hear the word of God. But there's one reason I'm not thrilled about this hymn either. What I'm not thrilled about is the title, "Here I Am, Lord." It makes you think that this is the most important part of the scripture. And it's really not. The most important part of the scripture to me, the most amazing part, is those words, "Lord, I'm listening. Your servant is listening. Your servant is willing to listen." Now, that's the stunning thing. Do you figure that out? The real important stuff starts happening when Samuel is quiet, when he waits for God to speak. Huh. So it's not "Here I am, use me, it's all about me." Where it gets exciting is when he says, "I'm going to be quiet and try to listen. I'm not going to run around. I'm going to try to listen." And I'm also surprised by the fact that Eli helps him. I mean, Samuel, it took him 3 tries before he got it, and he did not get it on his own. Eli says, "Here are the words that you speak. I know something more is going on. I'm going to tell you what to do and go and do it." So it needed 2 people here. It kind of needed that community. It's about hearing, and it's about being in the right place. It's an interesting way, but it really would be hard to sing, "Speak, because your servant is," it just doesn't go. So we go with that one line. And the truth is, we long to hear the word of God, and we long to be here in the place where it can happen. Here. I suspect that that's why many of you are in this place today. That being in the church, that being here, that you may hope there is a word for you that you can join in kind of the mission, the hope of this community. I wonder if that's why you come here, to hear something in a sermon, in a hymn, in an anthem, in a scripture, maybe something that's not even said out loud by any of us here, that you might be able to hear God. See, I think we need someone to help us to discern voices. I don't mean that God speaks in the middle of your head in a big voice. I mean, maybe God does. But you kind of hear that, those words that kind of burn inside of you, that thing that will not go away. We need others. I used to get asked a lot back in when that hymn was written 30 years ago. I'd tell people I was a pastor, and they go, well, why do you need to, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I'm a Christian, and I don't go to church. Now they say it when I'm telling the pastor, they go, oh, I'm very spiritual, I'm just not religious. It's the same thing, it's just got a different way to say it. And I want to say, well, you know, the reason I believe folks go to church is we need a community to help us to grow, to thrive, to learn. Because if you're by yourself, you only hear yourself, and we always think we're right, or we think we're crazy, and we listen to all those voices. So we come in this community to hear something different, to maybe hear the way of God, and we need each other. It may be someone else that helps us and says, you know, I wonder if that's what's going on, or I wonder if that's where God may lead you, or I wonder in the middle of the night if maybe you need to hear just that one thing and let all the others go, or what's underneath that anxiety. We need others, wiser, older, younger, to help us along the way. And one pastor tried to come up with some criteria to hear which voice, because you know there's a lot of voices going on. I'm not talking schizophrenia, but who knows? I'm just talking all those things that grab our attention. One pastor put it this way. Will your actions, as a result of this call, as a result of hearing God, bring loving to the world? Will your actions, in result of this call, be just? Will your actions, in result of this call, reflect the teaching and the ways of Christ? It's one of the ways to discern. I wonder if we wouldn't do so bad taking 12-year-old Samuel as kind of our mentor or our model. What amazes me is God called 4 times until Samuel was ready or able to hear. God didn't force Samuel. God was persistent, and God waited. I wonder if God is persistent and waiting with us. Could we be like Samuel and have places where we're willing just to listen, not to run around, but just to listen, to be able to say, here I am, and here, let me hear. Many of you know that I have a sabbatical coming up this summer, and a sabbatical is designed so the pastor can stop listening to all those worries that go on in her sense. Because I know I have no power to heal the economic crisis, much less the garage here. That I worry about things I cannot control, and I don't have time to remember and to realize what I'm supposed to be about. So a sabbatical is given to me so I might get rejuvenated, so I might be able to hear God's call in a new way. Not just for myself, but for you. And during the time that I'm away, you just don't get to say, oh, well, we don't have to do anything. She's God. We'll get some fillers, la, la, la. It's your time to start saying, here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. Where might we be going? Where might God be calling us? We both do this vision. Because what happens sometimes, even with you, if I say, oh, I've got a vision, you'll either go with it or you'll ignore me. But you don't always do the work yourself. And we pastors think we're great, but we can't do it on ourselves, and we're not oftentimes able to. So we're both going to have a season where we're able to listen, to hear God, to be used. Because I think God still speaks to us, calls for us, is persistent and waiting. And we find much of that in this place here, and so we hear. So maybe the first simple step is in the midst of all these voices and demands and times on our hearts and our energy and our monies and everything we have, that we say those words, "Here I am, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." May it be so.